Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from England, we have Sister Rose Rowling. Sister Rose is a novice with the English Dominican Congregation of St. Catherine of Siena, based in Cambridge. Her preaching today is entitled Rock Formation.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. King Herod started persecuting certain members of the church. He beheaded James, the brother of John, and when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he decided to arrest Peter as well. This was during the days of unleavened bread, and he put Peter in prison, assigning four squads of four soldiers each to guard him in turns. Herod meant to try Peter in public after the end of Passover week. All the time Peter was under guard, the church prayed to God for him unremittingly. On the night before Herod was to try him, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, fastened with double chains, while guards kept watch at the main entrance to the prison. Then suddenly the angel of the Lord stood there, and the cell was filled with light. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him. "Get up," he said, "hurry." And the chain fell from his hands. The angel then said, "Put on your belt and sandals." After he had done this, the angel next said, "Wrap your cloak round you and follow me." Peter followed him, but had no idea that what the angel did was all happening in reality. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed through two guard posts, one after the other, and reached the iron gate leading to the city. This opened of its own accord. They went through it and had walked the whole length of one street when suddenly the angel left him. It was only then that Peter came to himself. "Now I know it is all true," he said. "The Lord really did send his angel and has saved me from Herod and from all the Jewish people who were so certain what happened to me." Second reading from the second letter of St. Timothy. My life is already being poured away as a libation, and the time has come for me to be gone. I have fought the good fight to the end. I have run the race to the finish. I have kept the faith. All there is to come now is the crown of righteousness reserved for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all those who have longed for his appearing. The Lord stood by me and gave me power, so that through me the whole message might be proclaimed for all the pagans to hear. And so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from all evil attempts on me and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In his personal memoir of life in a Soviet prison camp, the Russian author Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote these extraordinary words: "Bless you, prison, bless you for being in my life. For there, lying upon the rotting prison straw, I came to realize that the object of life is not prosperity, as we are made to believe, but the maturity of the human soul." What was it exactly that he learnt in the gulag that was the key to his maturity? Solzhenitsyn recounts, "Gradually it was disclosed to me that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart and through all human hearts." The moment he came to maturity was the moment when he realized his own need for personal conversion and inner transformation as a human being, and that a change of mind, literally metanoia, rather than a change of circumstances, was the key to his inner freedom. This is why Solzhenitsyn could genuinely bless his prison cell in the end. His second realization was that there is no more effective, quick, and lasting path to growth and maturity than embracing suffering. Here he echoes the sentiments of St. Paul in Romans 5:3-5. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Peter and St. Paul. These two men suffered and were shamed for their witness to the gospel. But what I find so engaging about our two readings today, from the Acts of the Apostles and the second letter to Timothy respectively, is how they offer a window into the journey of personal maturity both men have arrived at this point, when understood in the context of the wider canon of Scripture. Most of what we know of St. Peter comes from the Gospels. Here he is shown as a man who oscillates between fierce loyalty to Jesus and impetuosity in acting on it, on one hand, undercut by a basic non-comprehension of the enormity of who Jesus really is and what his mission may demand. In today's Gospel, we do see the confession of Peter that Jesus is Lord. But only two verses further on from the end of today's reading, Peter takes Jesus aside and begins to rebuke him in response to Jesus' own warning about his coming passion and death. Peter, impetuous and valiant, says, "Never, Lord, never shall this happen to you." Recall too at the beginning of the passion drama, when Peter jumps in to protect Jesus from arrest in Gethsemane, still obtuse in not understanding or not acquiescing to the will of God. We too have something to learn from Peter's attitude here. The Baptist teacher Oswald Chambers remarked that one of the hardest lessons to learn comes from our stubborn refusal to refrain from interfering in other people's lives. It takes a long time to realize the danger of being an amateur providence, that is, interfering with God's plan for others. You see someone suffering and say, "He will not suffer, and I will make sure that he doesn't." You put your hand right in front of God's permissive will to stop it, and then God says, "What is that to you?" The problem is, running away from your own suffering and encouraging others to do the same only makes other people suffer in the long run. If I don't carry my own cross, it will end up being borne by another. There are no get out of the cross free cards in this life. Consider the example of Malchus, the guard who had his ear chopped off because of Peter's attempt at saving Jesus, which would have cost humanity true salvation. All that being said, by the time of our first reading today, we see a marked change in Peter's attitude. Today's passage begins with the execution of St. James at the sword of King Herod, the first apostle to be martyred. There is every reason to think that St. Peter expected the same fate. Everything points to the end game. Instead, he is arrested and put into prison. But the expectation turns from one of imminent death to death in the near future. What's interesting is that there is no indication that Peter resisted the death of James, nor what seems to be his own coming end. This is a testimony to Peter's growth in maturity, his conversion, to be willing, even glad, to bear suffering for the sake of the gospel and allow others to freely do the same, even if it costs life itself. This time, Peter doesn't fight, he doesn't deny Christ, and he doesn't run away. Nor was he impulsive or grandiose in trying to seek out death in a heroic act of his own choosing. What is it that has changed for Peter between the Gospels and the Book of Acts? Well, in the interim, Peter has seen Jesus die, but also rise again. Peter's inconstancy and fear of suffering have matured into a convicted faith, which is the grounding of our surrender to God, even amidst the greatest trials. Peter now understands, and he is not afraid anymore. He has found the peace of Christ. Peter's steadfastness under suffering is accompanied by the self-emptying of St. Paul. Unlike St. Peter, we learn about St. Paul's character mostly by his own writings in the New Testament letters. The first encounter we have of St. Paul is in Acts 8, a man who had other men put coats at his feet, who rode atop a horse and looked down on others, a man secure in his own self-sufficiency and righteousness. By the time of his second letter to Timothy, we meet a man who has been cast to the ground in every way, poured out, stretched, and emptied. How does this indicate growth in maturity? Doesn't growth mean an increase? Yes, it does, but not in the ways we expect. Humility is both the foundation and the apex of the spiritual life. The higher we climb, the emptier we become, by which we increase our capacity for God. Oswald Chambers noticed that at this point, maturity is produced on the unconscious level, until we become so totally surrendered to God that we are not even aware of being used by Him. One final point. We are used by God for the sake of His body, the church. As teacher David Powlinson pointed out, spiritual maturity is not an end in itself, but is a gift for others. St. Peter and St. Paul are the two pillars of the church. They, of all people, needed to mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Tracing their own growth through suffering gives us something to reflect on in our own lives. And what is ultimately uplifting is that both readings end with each man declaring his certainty of God's rescue.